This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast, number one Browns podcast on the planet. You got Kevin
and Raleigh,
and we are very privileged and pleased to bring on our two good friends, friends of the program, reoccurring guests. You'll see him on Sundays at 1 o'clock in the right guard position, wearing number 77, two-time All-Pro, two-time Pro Bowler, with his All-Pro Pro Bowl wife, Carly. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Wyatt and Carly Teller. Guys, what's up?
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You kidding me? Thanks for being here.
Good, of course.
We love you guys. Wyatt got really tired of me asking him to do a bunch of things like this because I used to say yes to everything anyone ever messaged me.
And it's not, you guys are, it's not to be like, you know, mean, but I remember one time and the kids were awesome. They were great kids. But I just remember that, like, we were on a podcast and it was like, you know, now they did a great job, but I was just like, you know, babe, let the football team do most of the media.
Long story short, you guys are the only people that I can be like, hey, we're going to do this next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And it's Kevin and Raleigh. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Well, it's much appreciated because you guys have obviously a crazy schedule. And so we appreciate you coming on. Speaking of which,
we're going to use the fuck out of that clip.
Word. How was the summer? Tell us how little Brooks is doing. He looks like he's making some big gains there.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a big boy, you know, between Carly and I don't think he had a small gene in him, but, you know,
he's not big.
No, but you know, tall.
I am tall. If anybody's listening, I am tall.
If you say a guy, oh, that's a big guy, you know, he takes it as, you know, oh, thanks, man. If you say that's a big girl, that's usually not a compliment. So I see what she's saying. I didn't mean it like that. You know, I meant tall. But no, he's getting big. And
he's off the charts for height and like 95th percentile for weight. He's big.
Yeah.
You guys took over training camp pictures. I mean, those were the highlights of all the pictures of training camp was you guys and little Brooks running around.
I know.
Yeah. Well, no, Carly. So Carly being 45 minutes, like she grew up 45 minutes from Greenbrier. So her whole family was right there. You know, she just, when she came in, she came in from some of the camp. So, you know, it was just really her and I think Caitlin Conklin and just, you know, a couple wives showed up. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think all the other girls were like, no, there was like only one other. All the other girls were like, West Virginia, like, why would we go there? And for me, it was like,
take me home. But no, it's just, it was a beautiful camp. You know, it's, I love, you know, the mountains. So
yeah,
it was perfect really for cool. me. It wasn't too, I mean, the weather wasn't too bad. I mean,
it
was
beautiful.
It's the mountains. So it's, you know, it's 70 to 80 degrees.
Miles Garrett did some hiking and photography.
The media kind of talked about, or local media was saying, the Greenbrier was great for like a lack of distractions, team unity. Is there any merit to that?
Yeah, I mean, I will say this, you know, it was tough being away from Brooks and Carly for 10 days, but it was nice. Like, it's 7 p.m. You have nothing to do. You know that snack's downstairs.
And I was even there most of the time, and it was still...
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like we hung. I mean, we saw each other a little bit. But yeah, we didn't like
went to a dinner or two, but it was nice. It would be like, you know, let's say 8 o'clock. You know that you have to go eat a meal and drink some water, so you're going to go downstairs and go to the meal room. You know, usually you just go to your pantry and go back to your bed, right? But when you're at the Greenbrier, you get together, you start conversating with guys, you start hearing about their story, their family. You know, you realize, obviously, you know, naive of anybody to not think this, but you know, everybody has such a complex story and, you know, understand that and hearing that. So it was good for that. It was weird not coming home every night, We're not sleeping in your bed for 10 days.
But a lot of teams do that, don't they? Not the Greenbrier, but like a lot of teams go to, like when you were at the Bills, did you guys like go to a...
Yeah, right down the road. It was like an hour away.
Yeah, but you had Rochester.
Yeah, we stayed at a...
So it eliminates the distraction and everything.
Yeah. And it's nice. Like, you know, it's a little bit more structured. You know, you have... Like I said, meals at night that you, you know,
I mean, we're in West Virginia. I don't think there were a lot of, unless I've missed them, I don't think there were a lot of girls hanging out.
No, it was none of that.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
Oh, we're drinking a couple of local IPAs.
That's a nice cooler.
What is this cooler?
Yeah.
My friend is a varsity cooler. Cleveland themed, like to represent the city on my shoulders. It also serves as a duffel bag. Using our promo code BOTTLEGATE, link in the bio, you can get 10% off your varsity cooler purchase. They don't just have Cleveland varsity coolers. They got like 17 other cities.
NFL teams.
NFL.
Look, you got to look good in the muni lot. You got to come correct. I'll be there this Sunday. Come with a varsity cooler. You'll be the best looking one in the muni lot besides me.
Bring it to the gym, crack open a beer, and talk about the Browns with your boys.
With the look of that cooler, you could bring it into the gym and no one would question you.
Nobody.
They'd be like, that's good. Like that's a Browns fan. That's a crazy dude.
Oh yeah. Look
at biceps.
Yeah. And he must be jacked if he's a Browns fan. So before we hopped on the mic, we said that this, and again, this is coming from clueless fans like us. Was this not the longest training camp in the history of professional sports for you guys this season?
10 days at Greenbrier. We came home, we had another week, and then went to Philly. So it was kind of like, you know, there's so much change and stuff. It wasn't monotonous. If it was like COVID, you know, and we had that game, and then we had five more weeks at the facility, that would be pretty ridiculous. But by the end of it, you know, we got into a game week last week with Kansas City, basically a mock game. Where we go through all, you know, the bells and whistles of a normal week. But so by the time we got to that, it was like, all right, you know, it wasn't too bad for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, but it felt like 3 to 4. So it didn't feel too bad. Greenbrier really did.
But then when you played the Eagles, y'all were gone for another like 5 days. Obviously this is my first season as a mom and having a baby. And so for me, not that anybody really cares, but it was like, I mean, I don't know. I thought that it was like extra hard because all the moms that don't have their husbands here and everything, you know, that made it a little bit hard. But
yeah,
we care, Carl.
We did it.
Speaking of Philly, reporters on both sides. Now, granted, you guys all know that most reporters, definitely most podcast hosts, don't know anything about football. So they just grain of salt. But they said last year looked like the Eagles had more of an edge. Which obviously was a ton in flux last year for you guys, and we all know that. They said this year it was a pretty even camp. Was that noticeable to you guys? Did it feel better because you're like, hey, these boys in the Super Bowl last year and we're out here neck and neck?
Yeah. No, I think that it you know, I think our defense did really well, which impressed them. And then, you know, I think that our offense, like, I think the first day we only got like 4 or 5 passes off. And I know that sounds crazy, but when you're running these drills, you got guys who, you know, for example, in our practice, you'll get 3 to 5 steps full speed, and then it's settled down because pushing you into your, you know, $200-some million quarterback is dumb. It's stupid. They don't give a crap about that. They don't care about that quarterback. That quarterback's not going to help them win. So they don't care. To them, it's, you know, a little bit more of a game. To us, it's like, all right, what are we doing, man? Like, you're not helping anybody. In a game, we have chips and blocks, and we're going to scheme the hell out of you right now. We're doing practice. We haven't schemed you. We haven't done anything. You know, we're just running our plays. And, you know, it's just – it's a trap. And you do get caught up in, you know, protecting your guys. And I think there was a fight that – small fight that broke out, and it was just like –
I thought that was at the Greenbrier. There was another one?
No, and it was just like, you know, it was just like –
Didn't DeJuan Jones throw someone into another state?
Yeah, well, someone hit one of our players in the back, and then one of their defensive linemen, I don't know his name, just comes up and just smashes one of our guys in the face or in the back, and he fell to the ground.
Was it DeJuan? Just like,
and DeJuan saw that and got over there. He was one of the first people over there. So
he's so
I
got
to respect him on that.
Random NFL call.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Question. And again, not asking how you, your personal money situation in the NFL, how do you guys get paid? Is it twice a month? Is it a direct deposit? Your Chase app gets notified? Is it once a week? Like, how do you get paid in the NFL? Like, how does that work?
So it used to be end of the week, they'd hand you a paper check. You take that paper check and you'd go cash it or put it in the bank account and stuff like that. And there's, you know, great stories of, you know, I might not know the name of the guy, but players who would put the checks thinking like, oh, I got $204 million, not knowing that that doesn't count as money in your account. It's just checks. So now everybody is direct deposit. You know, I don't even think there's anybody who can even get a paper check anymore. You can get a pay stub, but I don't think you can get an actual check. So everything's
is the online. Whole league, every team get paid every 2 weeks?
I think that was mandated. Friday, right? I think that was mandated after this past year. It might still be team to team. I'm not sure. But with the CBA in 2021, it changed to now it's 34 weeks. So it used to be seven, it'd be 8 to 9 pay stubs every 2 weeks. Now it's, you know, you can pay every week or you can pay every 2 weeks. So I know that it might be different between team to team. Both places I've been, it's been every 2 weeks. Buffalo was every 2 weeks.
Similar.
And yeah, it's for 34 weeks. Now it used to be 17 weeks. So you'd get your huge check right at the end of the year or, you know, fall. And you'd get a lot of money in that little bit of time. And now it's kind of moved into 34 weeks. So,
yo, so what's the vibe right now? The boys are pumped. I mean, week one, like, is the longest training camp ever. Like, what does having all these division games right off the jump do? Is it make you guys more excited, or would you rather, you know, be able to lean into the season a little bit and then have those come later on? Does it matter?
Yeah, no, I know that obviously we'd like to – you know, we'd like to be at our best when we play those games. So it doesn't matter if that's the beginning of the season or end of the season, but usually if it's at the end of the season, you know, you find your, your niche and you start, you know, playing well and, you know, everything that's been working throughout the season kind of goes together. You know, beginning of the season, you know, no one has seen, you know, I guess the little bit of taste last year of Deshaun, but, you know, within a whole off season and, you know, a preseason where we get to, you know, focus on one QB instead of two QBs. And, you know, we really, you know, we have a lot of, you know, defense and stuff like that we're able to go against. So it's kind of fun to, you know, go into the season with a lot of hype. You know, at the same time, we're not really listening to it. You know, we've had a lot of hype. You know, every time we get a good player, you know, I love our fans, but our fans go, we're going to the Super Bowl. So every year, why not us? You know, why not us?
0-16, and we said that. So yeah.
0-16 next year, Super Bowl. Watch it, right? Yeah. So I just feel that we have very optimistic fans. Stick by us. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers said it a couple years ago. You know, everybody's saying, "Oh, we're gonna suck" or whatever. It's just don't boo us out of the stadium if something bad happens in true Brown fashion, right? Like we're still the Browns. Hopefully we can put some games together and. You know, win. I feel like the biggest thing we could not do last year was put two games together. We'd win a game, lose a game.
Yeah.
Win a game, lose a game. If you watch 2020, we had 2 4-game win streaks. You know what I mean? If you do that in the league, you're going to win a lot of games just because that's 8 games right there. And that was just 2 win streaks.
Yeah, so, we just like couldn't keep the momentum going. It was like we'd be up and it would be great. And then the next week.
Yeah. And I feel like to win in the NFL, you have to be consistent. And whether that's, you know, whatever our identity is, you know, I think that, you know, coach is going to do a great job. You know, I'm not just saying that to blow smoke. Like, I really do think that, you know, he's a great play caller. So as long as he can go out there and just execute.
Can you educate us civilians? What is the thing people get the most wrong about playing or not playing in the preseason? Because everyone says, oh, yeah, they got to play. They got to get used to game speed or they're going to be cold come week one. But then they celebrate Chubb and Miles not playing. I know every team and every player is different, but in general, I assume you guys probably want to play as much as you can because you like playing the game of football. But what all goes into that, and what do we get wrong about playing and not playing in those games?
Older players usually don't.
Yeah.
I think that it was kind of funny. I was the only Pro Bowl player that actually was playing in the preseason.
Denzel played.
He wasn't a Pro Bowler last year.
Oh, you're not here.
That's not disrespectful. Hey, he's a hell of a fucking
player. I know. We're big.
Once, right? Didn't he go to the Pro Bowl once?
A couple times.
We're big Bulls fans.
Okay.
Yeah, but he had to play, and so did I. But, I feel like Nick is Nick Chubb. I don't think that he needs to get in there to be able to read a defense the way that he can read a defense, to break cut and be an absolute, telephone pole to tackle. You ever tried to tackle one of those? It doesn't work. So that's, I don't think that more preseason games are going to change that. Miles, his Euro step is about 17 yards long. So good luck defending him. I don't think that preseason is going to help him. Joel Bitonio, he's had the same technique, the exact same fundamentals for 10 years. And he's just getting better with age, like fine wine. So, I don't think that he's going to get better in preseason, but a lot of guys, they have to sharpen their axe.
Right.
As the great Abe Lincoln said, if you have 6 hours to chop a tree down, you sharpen your axe for four. Right. So, if you're spending, as much time as
the
you
great
can.
Great Abe Lincoln.
Hey, look at that. Yeah.
Hey, I'm worth something. Weird facts.
What did
weird,
Joel
weird
say?
Historical
the
facts.
Other day, Joel Bitonio told me we had this dinner at the Conklin's house, and he said, "We all say that Wyatt
knows the first paragraph
knows
of every
the
Wikipedia
first sentence or the first sentence yeah. to sum up every Wikipedia ever."
You know how some people say, "I have my focus or whatever your focus, my knowledge is 1 inch wide, a mile deep." Mine's a mile wide, 1 inch deep. It really gets into the nitty gritty of something like tractors, a 60-32 or something like that. But hey, that's a good tractor. Then all of a sudden would come up to me and be like, yeah, but you know what I like? I like an XD1722. And I'd be like, I just said I know I like the tractor that I like. I don't know other tractors, So once people, for example, I love, firearms and stuff like that or hunting. And then I'll start talk to someone who's like, you know what I love to do? I love to hinge cut properties and, put field plots in and, use a little rye and a little bit. And I'm like, this is awesome, And then I'll, start to learn from it. It's just always been the way that I, am. But
these two questions, it's going to be a two-parter. This year, two differences. One, you touched on it a little bit earlier. Is it just the overall vibe between preparing for an offense where your quarterback situation is kind of in limbo last year versus now where it is Deshaun all the way? Has that been, knock on wood, has that just been a huge breath of fresh air? Any changes that you could point out to us that you guys are feeling? Two, when you're playing offense against a Jim Schwartz defense, is there anything tangible that you're noticing, or does it even matter in practice?
Yeah, no. So I feel like with Deshaun, Deshaun's a really good football player. I'm just going to tell you right now before the season starts, I'm just going to tell you he's a good football player. But no, he, there's a reason we wanted him to play. There's a reason they paid him all that money. There's a reason, right? And you see it all the time. So, being able to get out there and play with him, it's an honor. And then, with Jim Schwartz, he's, his defense, he literally.
Do you notice anything different from them just from having him?
Yeah, no, I think that they have an identity. They have a lot of leaders in there.
Oh yeah, you really like the
man coverage.
Tomlinson.
Man coverage.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but like their defensive line, their one objective is to get off the ball and fuck shit up. That's literally what it says on their objectives. Fuck shit up. So like, they take that to an extreme. They get off the ball, they make offensive linemen make mistakes. And, they're a hard defense to play against. That being said, we play against them every day. I catch Jordan Elliott's or, LT's hands to the face every freaking play. I'm like, if these guys are doing it to me, I'm excited to see it do. Now, that being said, they'll do it once or twice. You know, it's not every single play, but, you know, I'll get them back sometimes. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, that defense, it's a no-name defense. You know, whoever makes the play, get up, congratulate with your boys, and go back. And that's what he's kind of fostered in those guys. It's not all about me, you know, which is defense. It's a team defense. And, you know, usually defenses like that are pretty damn good. So I'm not going to blow smoke up anybody's butt. You know, hopefully we come out and just do what we're supposed to do. If we do that, we'll be pretty good.
You know, with Kareem gone this year, shout out Kareem. Big Kareem fans here. Who's going to talk the shit on the offense with him not out there anymore?
Well, yeah. Honestly, and I'm not too mad about it, because sometimes he'd be like, hey, you, number 94, you fat piece of shit. And he'd be like, what the? I have to block it. Don't piss him off. Stop it, Kareem. He'd be like, you look like shit. And they'd go, what are you saying right now? Take a deep breath, big guy. I got to block this angry guy. No, but I'm gonna miss him. He was a good dude.
Is he my buddy? Is he on a team yet?
No, yeah, he will be soon.
Who on the offensive line, if you had to say, of the whole O line, would be the most mouthy of, if any of you, like, somebody's got to be.
Maybe it's smart to not.
I don't think that's.
Yeah.
Like, does anyone ever say anything, or are y'all all quiet?
James Hudson.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
So I'm trying to think, like, would, like, Elijah Moore be talking? Would Jerome Ford be talking? Like, I can't think of any, like,
talkers
on the offense right now.
No, I don't think Jerome. Jerome's kind of quiet.
Does Dave Njoku talking?
No, Dave's not going to talk.
He's such a lover.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. Deshaun talks some shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's not good.
I feel like, for the most part, like,
people want to kill him then.
Yeah. Oh,
quarterback. They want to kill quarterback.
He's you know, 6'4", 240, and runs a 4.4. You know, good luck catching him. You know, that's his thing, is he's going to talk smack. And that's what I always think, is how do you get hit by these guys and you talk smack? Like, they want to get through me to you, and I don't talk smack. Like, screw that. Like, I'm not trying to get pushed over a pile. That being said, it doesn't matter. They're going to try to push me over a pile anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who is your favorite new teammate? We're going to go not rookie, but whether it was a signing, free agency, trade, whatever. Favorite teammate in terms of hilarity?
I feel like a lot of the guys, I say that this is one of the best teams that I've been on, like, chemistry and guys just getting along. You know,
who's funny?
Well, we spend most time with the offensive line, and our offensive line didn't have a single change, which is a blessing. I mean, that's one of the craziest facts ever.
You like the new I don't know if he's funny. I don't know anything about him, but you like the new quarterback, the backup guy.
Oh, DTR. But not, he's a rookie. No rookies.
Oh, no rookies. Sorry.
No, but I do like – I love our rookies, DeJuan and Luke. They're great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good players. You're going to be great players one day. You know, they do their rookie duties. They don't bitch about it a lot. You know, Luke is awesome. He doesn't bitch about his
– He likes Zadarius. He said he's a really good leader.
Zadarius is a really good leader. Elijah Moore's got a good sense of humor. A lot of the guys got a good sense of humor. Like, you know, you can tell someone has a good sense of humor if I say something and they laugh, you know, because obviously I'm the funniest person alive. So, you know, if they laugh at my jokes, yeah, then – no,
I respect that statement more than you'll ever respect. Know.
Hey, no, you know, we'll definitely, like, we'll just have, like, jabs or something like that. And, you know, you can tell, you know, guys get along. You know, I funny guys, I don't know. I feel like we've never really had, like, super comedians on the team. Like, even Kareem, like, he was funny, but he meant it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he said things to be funny. Like, if he was calling you fat, like, he legitimately thought in his mind, in his heart of hearts, that you were fat and you needed to clean it up. Like, he wasn't saying it like, I know I'm mic'd up and you're embarrassing your team, but, like, he literally meant it in his heart that you look embarrassing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he said it, he wasn't messing around.
You mentioned a minute ago the party y'all had at the Conklin House over the weekend. I'm only bringing it up because it was all over social media. It was a lot of Browns players and their significant others in the Conklin backyard. Had Rocco Whalen, shout out Fahrenheit Cleveland, trying to get myself a reservation this weekend. It looked like something out of a magazine shoot, like the tables and everything.
Was there any videos of the inside the house?
Not much.
No,
their home is not.
You guys are all dressed to the nines, the tables, the balloons by the pool. Yes. Here's my only qualm, though, and where him and I could come in. I know you guys are some of the best athletes on the planet and don't always – you maybe take a break from competing in sports every now and then, but you guys had probably the best meal in Cleveland that night, the best setup. There was not one yard game or one pool game going on. There was no cornhole. There was no spike ball. No. So what you guys need – my humble recommendation is Raleigh and I to be director of yard games at these next games.
Yes.
Oh, y'all would be really good at that.
Well, this is the thing. Like, when we all were going, we expected a
yard game. Charlie Hewlett threw somebody in the pool. Yeah. That was active.
Just threw Luke Whippler in the pool. Not because he's a rookie, just because he's Luke. So it was not hazing. It was just because it's Luke Whippler. But, no, it was a good time. I, by the time we got there, I think it was 6. We left at, 10:30, 11 o'clock. So it was only a couple hours. That being said, if it was an all-day bender, it would have been crazy not to have some kind of games. But, you're showing people a house. Jack's coming back. He's showing someone else a house. You're conversating. You're getting another
drink. It was a fancy party.
It was definitely not a boring time, even though there was no yard games. But I agree. We should have had some cornhole or something going on. Or maybe some, some dice dice or something like that. I don't know. Something.
There's a 98% chance if we actually did set up the yard game with our luck, somebody would get put on the DNP list for taking the yard to the jugular.
Okay, last thing about that. He
flipped over the table and broke his neck.
By the way, before we wrap, every year it comes out week one. This year it did, and Metallica was commenting on it. The Virginia Tech intro to Metallica.
Good.
It's just so fun to watch every single time.
Yeah. No, it is. It's it definitely gives you goosebumps every time.
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
We were literally just watching it 2 hours ago.
Yeah. Every time that I've ever experienced it in the tunnel, you can barely hear the music. You can feel the – now, one thing you can feel is the earth moving around you because, it's 70,000, 67,000 fans jumping in the stadium. And
doesn't it show up on
it shows on Doppler's
radar.
Doppler and Roanoke. It shows up on the Doppler and Roanoke. Now small, 3.5 or 3.0 or something like that. It's real small.
But
maybe
still,
2.5. That's but incredible. Something really small, but still you can feel it through to Roanoke. So it is an absolute amazing thing. I love our fans. They're absolutely crazy. And they love their football. It reminds me of a city that I play in now. That we have the most loyal fans in the world, and we have no reason, so I'm thankful for that.
That's how you end a podcast, right?
That's
there.
How you end that's a podcast.
Best textbook. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Carly Wyatt Teller, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck this season. Best of luck this week. I can't wait to get to Cleveland on Friday for this game. For Raleigh, for myself.
We have Tim Couch tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Dogsmore Podcast. Thank you to Tellers, and good night, Cleveland.
Any given Sunday, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'2", weighed 225. Number 32, he was better than the rest. Everybody knew that he was the best. Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Big Jim Brown. Jim Brown. A first round pick in the 57 draft. Started setting records at the league aghast. Had a debut like few in sports history. He was rookie of the year and the MVP, Jim Brown. No one ever seen anybody like Jim. Year after year, the competition was him. Touchdown after touchdown, win after win. Title after title kept raking them in, Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Big Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Then came that game on that day in December that still to this day is reminisced and remembered. The world stood still and hearts beat fast. Not 1 point scored, 0-0 at the half. But hold on. Through the third and fourth quarter, they kept fighting hard. Through touchdowns and field goals and Jim's rushing yards. Cleveland had 27 and the Colts had none. The Browns
were triumphant, the championship was won. Jim Brown, Big Jim Brown. Seasons, he never missed a game. He was voted into the Pro Bowl every year that he played. He had 8 leading rushing seasons, 3 MVPs, and still holds a franchise record for most rushing in the league. Jim Brown. From a director's chair on a movie set, Jim broke the news that they'll never forget. He said he'd made up his mind. He said it was time. He said he retired. It was the end of the line for Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Jim Brown, Big Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Now his jersey's retired, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's got a ring of honor and a statue in his name. You can sum up this man in one single line. He's the greatest NFL running back of all time. Big Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Jim Brown, Big Jim Brown. Jim Brown. Jim Brown.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.